continue our focus on all things legal and understanding the legal implications of not only our previous conversation regarding sexual harassment in the workplace, an important conversation which we hope many of you do go back to listen to on our website, kaya959.co.za, and most importantly, source the courage to be bold enough to address some of these issues and stigmas and avoid them, halting them from occurring within our workspaces. But for the moment, though, we shift our conversation to another difficult environment that we've gone through, particularly in the month of July, being the civil unrest and looting that we witnessed in South Africa. And what we do recall is that following that, the unrest taking place in Gauteng as well as KwaZulu-Natal, many businesses were certainly forced to close their shops or reduce their levels of operation due to the damage that had occurred. However, on the 11th of August, the Minister of Employment and Labour gazetted the temporary financial relief scheme known as the Destroyed, Affected or Looted Workplaces Temporary Financial Relief Scheme to help address some of these challenges, particularly for employees of these companies. Not the businesses, but their employees, to help us understand who benefits, what the conditions are, and of course how this really does change things in the lay of the landscape in South Africa. We're joined by Godi Shopashe, Associate in Employment Law at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. Godi Sho, thank you so much for your time and welcome to Kaya Biz.
Good evening, good evening. Good evening to all the listeners too.
Indeed, we're quite excited to speak to you because this is quite an important topic, which really speaks to not only how the law has shifted and changed slightly to make sure that we do see some benefit be flowing through to the most negatively impacted by the looting, but also understanding how small businesses and middle-sized businesses will be able to remain operational or sustainably so, given the short-term frustrations that we feel. But Godisho, perhaps if you can help us get a better understanding of the overall destroyed, affected and looted workplaces temporary relief scheme. Who qualifies and under what conditions?
Yeah, thank you, Vivietti. So this conversation is indeed important, as we all saw during the unrest, the country's core economy drivers, being small businesses and medium businesses, were really affected by looting and main infrastructure was destroyed. So this workers affected by unrest scheme is really aimed at employers, or rather, sorry, employees who were affected during the unrest. So this means that if an employee got reduced pay or no pay at all due to the unrest, then this temporary relief scheme was for them in mind when government came up with this.
That's a valid point, and you're quite right. I guess these businesses will have to substantiate how they were affected. Employees will also have to come forward to actually show that their operations and their level of productivity was also impacted. I'm keen to understand some of those dynamics because the proof really is within the pudding, and some companies perhaps might not be clear on the level of compliance they need to achieve.
Yeah. And that's so true, Vivile. The important thing for employers and businesses to really think about before applying for this scheme is that the employer will have to prove, you know, and give details of the destruction, damage, theft, or closure of the business. And such details must be substantiated by South African Police Service reports, case numbers, and just submission. And also, the scheme would also like to be informed if you were insured and what you claimed. So it goes without saying that an employer will have to prove these things substantially.
That really does speak to making sure that they do comply and making sure that they do actively share some of that data. I'm keen to understand, we often say that there's a disconnect, right, between employees and employers. And this was also witnessed with the UIF TERS, the Temporary Employer-Employee Relief Scheme, where often perhaps the money that is solicited and received by the business does not necessarily translate into the money that will then be sent into the bank account of their employees. As an employee of a business that might have been affected by the looting, do I have any right to question my seniors and my my employer to actually say, hold on, I haven't been working, or my income has taken a knock since the looting. So are you making sure that you apply for this relief program that government has instituted? I guess what I'm trying to figure out here, Khodisho, is the rights of the employees to make sure that the employers follow through with the proper process.
Yeah, and that's something that every employee and employer are going to have to consider. So the truth of the matter is, this scheme is one of those schemes that the employer has to apply for on behalf of the employee.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference with this one is that the money is paid directly into the worker's account. So straight from the UIF into the employee's account. So that's the difference that you have here. So it kind of cuts out the middleman being the employer. But again, the employer still has a huge role in this, because they have to make sure that they're registered with the UIF, first of all.
Uh-huh.
And they need to be the ones who prove the details of the destruction, the damage, etc. So in this instance, the employees will have to discuss this with the employer. But I really don't see how there can be any resistance from this, because first of all, this will remove the burden of the financial burden from the employer for a limited time period. So most employers shouldn't resist to this. But a good thing about this is that the money will be paid directly into the worker's account.
Interesting. And very true, as you say, that this really is meant to benefit the employee. Perhaps if you can remind us on the kind of remuneration calculations that have been conducted here, just how much is the scale and the numbers and the figures that have been quoted that employees might be able to benefit from?
Yeah, so in terms of calculating the remuneration package, initially when the scheme was announced and was gazetted, the UIF was considering a sliding scale of 38% to 60%, which would be based on an employee's remuneration in total. And that relief was at a minimum of 3,500 rand and at a maximum of about 6,700 rand per month. However, as of the 20th of August 2021, the minister announced that they'll be applying a flat rate of 3,500 rand per month to ensure that the UIF scheme is stretched out to cover all affected workers. And
uh-huh.
Yeah, that's just the consideration they have to take, looking at financial factors and what they can afford realistically.
Uh-huh. Makes sense. And there's no clarity just yet, right? How long this particular program will run for, or is it for a limited time frame?
Yeah, so according to what we hear from the minister stated that they'll be reviewing this bi-weekly. So for now, we just don't know how long it will last until.
Very true. If you just joined us as a listener, while we are in conversation with Khodisho Phashe, he's an associate in employment law at Cliff Dicker Hofmeyr, and he's helping us understand more of the solutions that government has brought on board, primarily from the Minister of Employment and Labour, which gazetted the temporary financial relief scheme earlier on this month for businesses that were destroyed, affected or looted workplaces, essentially benefiting the employees who might have had their jobs be suspended or no longer operational as a result of the rebuild following the looting, or might have experienced some kind of shortfall in their salary on the back of damage that has occurred due to looting. And we've been unpacking how South Africans can qualify, how businesses need to make sure that they're on board to actively encourage their employees to participate as well, and of course processing the necessary paperwork to make sure that the end result does lead to South Africans and workers getting their fair share of this alleviation from the pressure. Khodisho, I'm keen to get your thoughts as well that, of course, within the labor environment in South Africa, we know that it's highly contentious at the moment. We see the unemployment figures. We are aware of the pressures that businesses are under. And maybe you can also take us into your confidence in that regard as someone who perhaps might oversee certain cases or read of particular studies where businesses might now find themselves in a corner and actually say, hold on, Gugu, I can't really continue having your services within my entity, so I'd rather let you go. Are we finding that there has been an increase in retrenchments and job losses? But not only that, but are we also finding that businesses continue to follow through with the proper legal route in order to minimize their workforces. I guess what I'm trying to get to is understanding how South African workers are being protected and not exploited in the workplace by losing their jobs on the back of the bleak economic climate we're in.
Yeah, and the reality of this is that this is not new. Since the start of COVID-19, many businesses have been going through this. So this is just another unfortunate event that added on top of what the country and the world has been going through. So we've seen a drastic increase in retrenchment starting from March 2020 and then until now. And the reality is, especially for something such as looting, is that you'd find a lot of no-fault layoffs. And basically, that just means that the company, according to the operational requirements, they can't keep you because they don't have a business case for you, or there's no place for you anymore. So we've mostly seen these sort of cases increase over the past year, obviously because of COVID and because of the looting. Businesses have literally nowhere to go. And so we've seen retrenchment increase. However, our courts have been also very, very stern in this regard, making sure that businesses follow the correct procedure when it comes to retrenchment. So it's actually very encouraging seeing that when businesses are in a corner, the court still comes through to make sure that employees are protected. So that's been something that's been really encouraging in our law recently.
That's quite refreshing. And I guess as an overview, do we see that the law does really work in the favor of employees in South Africa to make sure that there are no abuses and unnecessary themes that occur?
Yeah. And I think as an employment lawyer, that's what we really advise our clients. We advise our clients to consider the fairness being one of the core values which are enshrined in the Labor Relations Act, because at the end of the day, when you get to the CCMA or when you get to the Labor Court, that's what the commissioner or the judge is going to use. Was this fair to the employee? So that's the main consideration, that even when things start, that's our advice to our client: fairness for the employee. So that's the way that our law is moving towards.
Khodisha, thank you so much for your time this evening. You've really helped us understand and paint a positive picture for us to understand the workforce and in the environment that we're in at the moment, despite the challenges, despite the pandemic and the pressures it's placed on business. But as you say, the long arm of the law certainly still working in the favor of employees in order to protect them as well as their economic interests. Thank you so much for your time once more. Really appreciate it, and looking forward to hearing more from you in the future. That's Associate in Employment Law at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, Khodisha Phashe. For the moment, though,